Now let's read, please, from the book of Romans, the epistle of Romans, and mainly from chapter 5, but maybe just reading the last verse of Romans chapter 4 and moving into Romans chapter 5. So Romans, the epistle of Romans, chapter 4, and reading at verse 25. And this is speaking about the Lord Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Down to verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation, as the word would be better translated. So God will bless again the reading of these verses. And I want to think with you tonight, this evening, about the truth of the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus. And particularly in these verses in Romans 5, we have the truth of the believer's justification before God. And this is the wonderful blessing for those who are saved, for those who are Christians, who are believers in the Lord Jesus. Those who have received the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior are in the good of the blessings that are spoken about in these verses, the blessing of justification. Now, I know that there are some in attendance tonight, and English is not your first language. And so let me just take a moment at the start here to just give some explanation about this word justification, or justified, as we read it there in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we often use the word justified in our daily conversations. We use it in a more general context than what is specifically involved here in Romans 5. We might have done something. We might have said something. And we feel we have the right to do what we did. We feel we have the right to say what we said. And so we would say, well, I was justified in what I did. We would say, I was justified in the things that I said, because we feel we have that right to do what we did. We had that right to say what we said. We feel justified in a moral sense in the things that we do. And so it's used in that context in a general way, having that right, that authority that we would feel that we have to do something. But here in Romans 5, this word justified, being justified by faith, it has a more specific context. And the context is the guilty sinner, the guilty, sinful human being who is before the holy God of heaven. And so it's more of a legal context in relation to God and the condition of the sinner before God. Because as sinners, we stand guilty and condemned before God. And if we remain as sinners without God's salvation, without having the salvation that is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we do not have the forgiveness of our sins, then we will remain forever as condemned sinners. And that means that we can never be in God's presence. That means we can never be in heaven. We cannot be admitted to God's heaven if we remain in that sinful condition as unjust before God. We will be shut out from the presence of God and from the presence of the Lord Jesus. If we do not get saved, the day will come for sinners who do not get saved. There will be a day of judgment that will come, spoken about at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation 20. And those unbelievers who will be judged there, they will be put away from God's presence. They will be put into that place called hell. And then for eternity, that place which is called the Lake of Fire. And they will be eternally shut out from God in the darkness of their sins and shut out from God's heaven. So that's a very solemn truth to recognize tonight. And yet those verses at the end of the book of Revelation are very clear about it. It says at the end of Revelation 20 that whosoever was not found written in the book of life, those who are saved, their names are in that book of life. Whoever was not found written in that book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. It says in Revelation 21 that the fearful and the unbelieving, those who do not believe in the message of salvation, and there's a list given of type of people who will have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And at the end of Revelation 21, it describes the heavenly city. And it says at the end of that chapter that there shall in no wise enter into it, into heaven, into the presence of God. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or maketh a lie, but who will have entrance into heaven? Those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so if we remain as guilty, condemned sinners before God, we can never be in heaven in the presence of God. But the tremendous good news of the gospel is that we can have a righteous acceptance in God's presence through salvation, through the person of the Lord Jesus, through his work on the cross where he died for sinners, through the shedding of his precious blood. And so Romans 5 verse 1 speaks about being justified before God. The sinner who has by faith trusted in the Lord Jesus, therefore being justified by God, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the blessing that's available for every sinner tonight because of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be blessed with God's salvation. And you can be justified. And just to develop the truth of that, it means that you can be cleared of all the guilt of your sin. We use the English word acquitted. It's a legal word. Somebody's found not guilty. In a court case, they're acquitted of the charge. And so as guilty sinners before God, if we come to the Lord Jesus and trust in him and his saving work on the cross, we can be acquitted. We can be cleared of our guilt. We can be released, set free from the guilt of our sins. And we can be declared righteous before God. And righteousness will be given to the believer in the Lord Jesus. And that is what fits a person to be in heaven. That is what makes it possible for sinners who are saved to be in heaven in the presence of God, because they have been justified by faith on the basis of what the Lord Jesus did there on the cross. And so we want everybody to understand these truths tonight. There's another verse I was thinking of in Revelation 22, very close to the end of the Bible. It says there, Revelation 22, verse 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still." He that is unjust, not justified before God, not in the good of this truth of justification, not in the good of this blessing of God's salvation. And when it comes to eternity, he that is unjust, the unbeliever who never gets saved, let him be unjust still. And the verse goes on to say, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Filthy in the sense of unfit for the presence of God. Because of our sin, that would defile us. That would make us filthy, morally, spiritually, before God. And so that will be the eternal portion for those who remain unjust, who remain defiled before God. It will be an unchanging condition. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. A continuation of a condition where you're not fit for the presence of God. And so these things would speak of the great need that sinners have to be justified by faith and to have that peace with God through our Lord Jesus. So how can we get this blessing? If I'm a guilty, defiled sinner before God, how can I get this blessing? Well, that's what these verses are speaking about. Therefore, it says, therefore being justified by faith. And that word, therefore, at the start of that first verse, it points us back. It's like a concluding statement based on everything that the Apostle Paul has been writing in the previous verses here in Romans. Therefore, on the basis of what he's been saying, we can be justified by faith. What has the apostle been saying in these opening chapters of the book of Romans? Well, he's been speaking about our condition as sinners before God. But just before I come to some of the specifics, what I wanted also to emphasize was that these truths that we're speaking about, and it's laid out for us here in a very logical way, and the Apostle Paul is giving us a very theologically expert explanation of these truths, and we appreciate that. But these are not just truths for the mind. These are not just to give us a mental understanding of these things. And we don't have a gospel meeting like this just to bring you a very clinical, intellectual understanding of the truth of the gospel. Because if you're going to be eternally blessed with salvation and the salvation of your soul, then these truths, they need to find a place in your heart. That's the reality. There needs to be a genuine, heartfelt conviction about your need of salvation, an understanding in your heart that you are a sinner before God. You do need the forgiveness of your sins. You do need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And so being saved and being blessed with salvation is not just to know and understand the doctrine, the teaching of the gospel, but to be saved is to believe with all your heart. And Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 emphasize that. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So Christianity and being saved, it's all about the heart. And it's the entrance of truth coming into the mind, having an understanding, but then finding a place in your heart. You remember when the Lord Jesus was speaking to the two disciples on the day of his resurrection, he appeared to two of his disciples as they were traveling through the country, and they were speaking with the Lord Jesus. They did not realize that it was the risen Lord Jesus, and they were speaking about everything that had happened in the previous days in Jerusalem in relation to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and they didn't recognize that this was the risen Lord Jesus. The passage says that their eyes were holden, that they did not know him. And the Lord Jesus says to them, he says, "O fools and slow of heart to believe, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" They were slow of heart to believe. And I wonder, does that describe anyone in this meeting this evening? Because you could have an understanding of the truth of the gospel. You could come to a meeting like this, and you can listen to what is being said, and maybe you do that Sunday night after Sunday night, and you might understand the things that are being preached from the Word of God, and you might even believe it all to be true. But have you believed the message in your heart? Have you rested your all for eternity on the truth of these things, upon the person of Christ and his work on the cross? And have you received the Lord Jesus in the heart? Have you received him as your very own personal Savior? So we want you to have heartfelt conviction about these truths that these verses are speaking about. So therefore, what has Paul the Apostle been speaking about? He's been outlining the need for justification before God. And I'm not going to go into all the details of these opening chapters, but I do encourage you to read them. And maybe later tonight or throughout this week, if you haven't read these opening chapters in Romans, it would be good if you did that. And what the Apostle Paul does is he takes up man in man's condition before God, and he shows that we're all guilty before God. We're all sinners. He begins with the heathen man who denies the existence of God and worships the creature more than the Creator. And he says that man is without excuse. Creation declares the reality of God and his person. And that man is that person who denies the existence of God, that heathen, that pagan man is without excuse. He takes up the Gentiles, and he takes up their hypocrisy. He takes up the Jews and their privilege in relation to God. And he takes these things up in different ways that we won't take time to go into. And he brings it all to a summary towards the end of chapter 3. And he'll say in chapter 3, verse 9, both Jews and Gentiles, all of humanity, they're all under sin. We're all sinners before God. We're all without excuse. We're all guilty, condemned sinners before God. He'll say in chapter 3, verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. He'll say in verse 12 of that chapter, there is none that doeth good, not one. He'll say in verse 19 of chapter 3, every mouth is stopped before God. All the world is guilty before God. And he'll say, as those verses continue, verses 22 and 23, he says, there's no difference. No difference in any man. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's the need for justification. We're all condemned, guilty sinners before God. Don't try to argue in anything in your defense. These verses say we're without excuse. Can't bring any excuses before God. We just need to accept the truth of God's word. We are sinners. We're guilty before God. It's only the proud human heart that doesn't want to accept that this is true. But we must accept it. It's in the Word of God. And everything about the condition of this world, and indeed everything about the condition of your life and your heart, and everything about the condition of my life and my heart, declares it to be true, that we're sinners before God. A verse in the Old Testament says that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So there's our need for justification. And there's three designations of man that we read in the verses here in chapter 5. And you'll notice that in relation to each of them, they all required the death of Christ on the cross because of what we are before God. So verse number 6 that we read, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's what we are. We're ungodly. We need to recognize. You might look around at the world and say, yeah, this is a very ungodly world. But we need to recognize that as sinners, we're ungodly before God, because not one of us has any natural desire to be obedient to the Word of God or to God's law. We are by nature ungodly. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. And as sinners, what am I? I'm unjust. I'm defiled. I'm unrighteous. I am the ungodly ones for whom Christ has died. And we need to recognize that our sin is against God. That's the reality of being ungodly, that our sin is grievous to God. Our sin is offensive to a holy God. And there are many verses in the Bible that make this clear. Go back to the book of Genesis, and it tells of how God saw the wickedness of man. It was great on the earth. And all of the thoughts and imaginations of man's heart was evil. Continually, it repented the Lord God that he'd made man on the earth. It grieved him in his heart. We're ungodly sinners, and our sin is a great offense to the holy God. Then secondly, in verse 8, not only ungodly, but in verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there's that word, sinners. And Christ died on the cross for us who are sinners. And that's why we need to be justified, because we are guilty sinners before God. And again, we ask you, are you prepared to acknowledge that is your condition? The disciple Peter, when he was in the presence of the Lord Jesus, he acknowledged it. He said, it's in Luke chapter 5, he says to the Lord Jesus, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord." The publican in Luke chapter 18, he says, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." The Apostle Paul acknowledged it when he wrote in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Paul says, "Of whom I'm chief." Paul says, I'm prepared to acknowledge I'm the chief of sinners. I'm right at the head. I'm right at the front of the line of sinners before God. We need to be justified because we are ungodly, because we are sinners before God. And then thirdly, in verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." We were enemies. And again, you look around in the world and you see a lot of hostility and enmity against God, but it's true of all of us individually as sinners. An enmity against God, a hostility towards God, because in our sinful condition, there's no love in our sinful hearts towards God. There's nothing within us as sinners that desires to please God or to do the things that would be pleasing to God. What there is in our hearts is very much an enmity against God. And so we're at a distance from God, and so we need to be reconciled. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, speaking of the blessing for Christians, to be brought near, to be brought close, to be brought into the family of God, to know God as your Father, to know the blessing of a close relationship with God, to be reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So the need for justification, we're ungodly, we're sinners, we're enemies before God. But what is the basis for justification? How can I, as a guilty sinner, as an ungodly one, as one who's at enmity to God, how can I be cleared of my guilt? How can I be declared just and righteous? How can I be justified before God? We can't do it for ourselves. There's nothing within us as sinners that can effect that. It says in that verse 6, we were without strength. It's not speaking of a physical strength. That's speaking of a spiritual, moral lack of strength. No ability to save ourselves. It needs the Lord Jesus. It needs the Savior. He is the one who is able to save us. And the basis for that is what he did on the cross and the death that he accomplished there. Verse 6, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So without Calvary, where the Lord Jesus died, without the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross, without the shedding of his precious blood on the cross of Calvary, there would be no basis for justification for the sinner. And we read verse 9, and that brings us particularly to the blood of the Lord Jesus. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Here is the basis of how I can be justified before God. God required that blood of his Son. And God saw the blood there of the Lord Jesus that was shed on the cross. And God was satisfied by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood has paid the price for our sin, for man's sin. And his blood is the basis for the sinner's justification, much more than being now justified by his blood. The Apostle Peter speaks about it in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, for as much as you know, you weren't redeemed, the truth of redemption, the truth of salvation, you weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but what was the basis of your salvation, the basis of your redemption, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So that speaks of the Lord Jesus as the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And that speaks of the blood of the sacrifice, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter appreciated it was precious blood, but also it was precious to God. It was the precious blood of his well-beloved Son, the one who was sinless, the one who was absolutely spotless, the one who was the Lamb of God without blemish and without spot. And that is the basis for justification, being justified by his blood. And so we want you to understand the value of the blood of Christ. Sometimes we use a word about the blood of Christ. We talk about it as the inestimable value of the blood of Christ. And that just means that you can't put a value on the blood of Christ. You can't. It's something that is priceless. It has eternally satisfied God. It is his precious blood. It's met all the righteous claims of God's holiness and God's righteousness. And God has been satisfied by that precious blood of the Lord Jesus. He has been satisfied for all eternity It's met all the infinite claims of divine justice in relation to man's sin. That is the basis for justification. How do we know that God has been satisfied? Well, we read that verse at the end of chapter 4. The Lord Jesus, he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. That's the truth of resurrection. The Lord Jesus, he was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered up to death there on the cross on account of our sins, our offenses. That's why he needed to go to the cross. He needed to pay the price for our sins on the cross. He was delivered for our offenses, but on the third day, he was raised out from the dead. He was raised again for our justification. And that's how we know that God has been eternally satisfied by the work of Calvary. And God has received his Son back to heaven, right the way back to the very throne of heaven. He's seated at God's right hand, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He's a real man in heaven. He's on the other side of death. And that tells me that God has been satisfied. That is the basis for the sinner's justification. But how can you come into the good of these things tonight? If you're not saved, if you're still a guilty, condemned sinner before God, and you don't have the forgiveness of your sins, you're condemned before God, you're unjust, you're unrighteous, and you need to be justified. What is the means whereby you can be justified? Well, we read it there in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Being justified by faith. It's on the principle of faith. It's believing God's word. It's believing and trusting in the Savior that God sent, his well-beloved Son. And there are so many verses in these opening chapters of Romans that emphasize that the blessing of salvation is on the basis of faith in the Lord Jesus. Romans 3:22, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Faith that has for its object Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe. Now that speaks of faith, believing the word of God. Romans 3:25, it speaks of the Lord Jesus, his sacrifice at the cross, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Verse 26 of that chapter, speaking of God, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Speaks again of faith, believing in Jesus. Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Not by law keeping, not by the works of the law, but by faith. Romans 3, verse 30. He is the one God who shall justify the circumcision, that's the Jew, by faith, and the uncircumcision, that's the Gentile, through faith. So all of humanity is on the same ground. All of humanity will be blessed in the same way on the principle of faith. So it is God who justifies those who have faith in the Lord Jesus. He is the justifier of that person which believes in Jesus. So it's on the principle of faith, not works. And so we ask you tonight, where is your faith? Where is your faith? That was a question the Lord Jesus once asked the disciples when they were on the lake and the storm arose and they thought they were perishing, and the Lord said to them, where is your faith? Well, where is your faith tonight? Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross? You know, there are many people in the world, and if you ask them, do you have faith? You know, a lot of people will say, yeah, I have faith. I believe God will receive me into heaven. And they say, well, I have faith in God. I believe that God will save this world. I believe that God will save humanity from all the consequences of our action. And they'll speak in a very general way, and they'll say, yeah, I have faith. But the faith that saves is the faith that is specifically faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, and faith in his work on the cross, and faith in his precious blood that he shed there upon the cross. We can't work for this. We're without strength. And when we were without strength, that was when Christ accomplished the work of salvation. When we were yet without strength, verse 6, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So I think this is something that is not properly understood by so many people in the world today. They think that to get to heaven, it's depending on themselves and what they can do. I noticed a few weeks ago, there was a comment by the President of the United States, and he was talking about all that he was trying to do to bring peace to the world, and specifically all that he was trying to do to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. And he made this comment, and it might have been one of these sort of glib comments, but he said something along the lines of, maybe if I eventually get to heaven, it will be because of all the things that I'm doing to bring peace to the world. That's what he said. Because of what the things that I'm doing, then maybe I will eventually get to heaven. Now, that kind of comment is based on a seriously wrong and a misunderstanding about the truth of the gospel, because my getting to heaven or not is not depending on what I can do. It's not depending on any of my own works, as if I can somehow merit God's salvation based on what I can do. No, a thousand times no. Understand this. It is not by any works that we can do. We'll close just quoting some more verses from the New Testament. Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, God's mercy. He saved us. We need his mercy. We need God's abundant mercy. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need God's grace. Salvation is a gift to be received. Salvation is not merited, not of works. Romans 3, 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so that again speaks about the grace of God, not based on our works. Romans 4, verses 4 and 5, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, that is God, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So there's the means of justification, the means of salvation. It's by faith, not by our works. We must depend entirely on the rich grace of God, the mercy of God, and the work that the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross. And so these verses that we've read, they also speak about the results of justification. And our time is up, so we're not going to speak about them. You can find about seven blessings that come to the believer on the basis of being justified before God. But notice the first one in verse 1, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. That's the blessing that's available for you tonight. As a guilty sinner, I was an enemy. I stood condemned before God. I was awaiting his judgment for my sin. As a believer in the Lord Jesus, having been justified by faith, I can enjoy peace with God. Peace with God for the rest of my life on earth and for an eternity to follow in heaven. That's a wonderful blessing to know, to be assured of, to know that your sins are forgiven, that you're in a right relationship with God, that you're fit to be in heaven in the presence of God, to know that you'll never be judged for your sins. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment for those that are in Christ Jesus. That peace can be your portion tonight if you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. That assurance of an eternal salvation, it can be yours if you receive Christ. So don't miss it. Don't miss out on it. Don't miss Christ as your Savior. Have the blessing of justification, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So may God bless his word.